In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
Come on, clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. I said, give Jesus all the glory. Don't do it like you are forced to do it. Do it because you love him. You don't have to be motivated to worship him. I said, clap your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please lift up your two hands. Father, we thank you because we have come this morning to receive from you. I believe that somebody's life will be changed by the entrance of your word. I believe that you are showing us so many things that will lead to our empowerment and our transformation. That when we leave this place, we will reflect your image, your character. Will become vessels that you can use to communicate your life and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Please take your seat. I welcome you to the morning session of this Women of Valor Conference. If you are happy that we are here, give the Lord one more time a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. That was such a powerful session I met. Let's give Lizzie a big hand. Where is she? How come? I was surprised when I came in that atmosphere and everybody was seated. Is that how you respond? Amen. That was powerful. I felt like the conference started. God bless you. I think I have a reward for you. Amen. That was remarkable. Amen. See, whatever God calls you to do, do it with the best of your ability. Amen. And for the first time, you are seeing a woman playing instrument. And let's give her another big God bless you. Amen. That's a challenge for some of you who have abandoned your music ministry. Say amen now. So are we ready for the word? I was not supposed to have a session this morning, but somehow I was programmed, and not really because I was programmed, but while I was with the Lord this morning, God instructed me to come back and finish what I started yesterday on discovering your identity. And I'll try to wrap that up quickly before we go to other sessions. Please, I'd like you to pay attention. Listen, God is compressing time for you these 3 days. Are you hearing me? There's not going to be another women's conference till next year. So whatever you receive from now will design your growth from this point till we meet next year. And I want you to take it serious. God cannot use a vessel that he has not built. Are you hearing me? And that's why we are here. So that he can fashion and thoroughly furnish us by the power of his word. And give us wisdom and insight in Jesus' name. So I want to finish what we talked about on discovering your identity. And I'll try to just... I had to briefly conscript it or ascribe it into a message for us this morning. And I'm sure you'll be blessed by what you hear. Father, give us insight and understanding. In Jesus' name. So I started as a charge yesterday on discovering your identity. And I started from Genesis chapter 2. God's intention for making the woman. He said, I will make a helper that is suitable. Remember, we read it in Amplified Translation. Adapted. Amen. and qualified for the man. So God's primary intention for making women was so that they can become help and support systems. And that is tailored into the identity of every woman. And I'm going to share a few things with us before I'm done this morning. I'd like you to really, really pay attention. Hallelujah. So every woman must know that God created them in the fashion of the first woman as a helper. You know, I often will say that God created a helper. The man that he brought the helper to called her woman. Why? Because he saw that this one had the capacity to support and to help me to birth my God-given assignment and destiny. But in chapter 3, when man fell, he called her Eve. And that's why I believe that somehow there were two females in the garden, not because there were two bodily vessels there. But in chapter 2, you have the woman. But in chapter 3, when they fell, meaning that they disobeyed God by eating the fruit and they lost the nature of that God that was in them. That's what we mean by fell. That's why in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short. When the nature of God is not domiciled in a man, that man has fallen short of the glory of God. That's what we mean. Okay? So when they fell in chapter 3, she became Eve. And I feel that you are going to have these two natures play out in every female. At some point, you would either behave as the woman that God sent as the helper, or you'll behave as Eve. Alright? Eve was the one who usurped authority and ate the fruit and gave to her husband. Eve was the one who was deceived. That's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But the woman was the helper God created and sent to the man and brought him completion. So we're talking about identity, and it's important you know this, because the first identity that you must discover about yourself is that that concerns every female, which I just talked about, which is that you are a woman. The second one, so you must know that God created you as a helper and sent you on earth as a woman. The second stage of discovering your identity is your identity in Christ Jesus. Now that you are born again and have the nature of God in you, you have been recreated in Christ Jesus. You now have a new identity, and you must discover that identity. That identity is the nature of God in you. That's what makes you begin to really fulfill God's purpose for your life as a helper. And that is what we call your identity in Christ Jesus. Our identity in Christ is Christ revealed in us as God's divine purpose for why we are saved and brought into the kingdom. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So in Christ Jesus, you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are an heir of God, and you are a joint heir with Christ. An heir is a successor. A son is the one that carries the reflective and exact image of the Father. That's something you also need to discover about yourself. That's the second level of identity that you must discover. The third level of identity you must discover in Christ Jesus, as a woman, is, first of all, you've discovered God's divine intention for creating you from the beginning. which is that you are a helper. The second is that now you are born again and in Christ Jesus you have a new nature. And all these natures will coexist. All these identities will coexist. The third one is you have discovered you were created by God as a helper. You are now made new in Christ Jesus, meaning that you have the nature of Christ revealed in you. The third one now is the identity that is unique to God's divine purpose for your life. The difference between the third and the first is that the first one is for every female. The third one is customized to just you. Why God created you. Are you listening at all? So, and it is this identity that becomes the root of your destiny. This is where we are all separated in Christ Jesus. So we are all in Christ. We are all created as helpers. But each of us has a unique identity that sponsors our assignment and our destiny on earth. It is from this third one that the grace God has given to you to manifest can flow out. This third one comes by revelation, which I will share with you. This one, you don't share it with everybody. This one is unique to just you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, on your journey through life, as you begin to yield to God's purpose for you, to God's divine assignment for your life, and begin to focus on pursuing destiny, you will need to first discover your original identity as a person. That's why in Christ Jesus, some of us have been called as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as teachers, some as pastors, right? Some of us have the calling of leadership, of government. Some of us have the calling of helps. You see, even though we are all in Christ Jesus, we have separate identities. The 12 sons of Jacob were all sons of Jacob, but they had individual identities. That was what Jacob was giving to them in Genesis 49. But the problem with Jacob, or Jacob's prescription when he was blessing his sons, was that he gave them identity based on their behavior. This one, these two, Levi and Simeon, were angry fellows. If you do anything, they'll slap you. In fact, in their anger, because somebody slept with their sister, they took their sword and entered his city and killed all the men. Jacob said, your own anger go kill me. So the two of you. And that identity followed down the line even to Moses. That the Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the earth, that the only time he got angry, he lost his destiny. That's why it's important in this conference that you discover your own identity, because that is the first inheritance you will leave for every child that God will cause to proceed from you. And when I talk about children, I'm not talking about the ones you will give birth to physically alone. Remember, God brought Abraham outside and he told him, count the sand on the seashore. And he told him, first count the stars in the sky. He said, so shall your descendants be. Then he said, count the sands on the seashore. If you can count it, so shall your descendants be. The ones in the sky spoke of the celestial, the heavenly, spiritual children. Now, all of us are children of Abraham. According to Galatians chapter 3, he said, if you are in Christ Jesus, then are you Abraham's seed? I think verse 26 or 29. So in Christ, all of us are Abraham's children, including Israel. But the sand on the seashore, where his biological children, the ones that will proceed from him. So your identity is one of the first heritage or inheritance you will leave for every seed that God will birth through you. I hope you know that it is factored into a woman's call. That you are a woman means God gave you the ability to birth and to bring forth. God positioned you as a mobile human gate. It is through you that another life will come. Somehow there must be the involvement of a woman if any life must escape from the realm of the spirit into the physical. So when I'm talking about betting children, I'm not just talking about betting biological children alone. No. You can also bet spiritual children. You can bet destinies. You can write books that will influence people, that will shape nations. You can live a life that whose story can be captured in history in such a way that people will read those stories and arise as leaders, as pillars in their generations. You betted them. Because it is the destiny of a woman to bring forth. As soon as Zion traveled, he brought forth? No, she brought forth. So, at this point in your life, how many things have you birthed? To what extent has the purposes of God been given birth to in and through your life? These are questions or remunerations that we must go through again and again. And that's why we are here, to discover our identity. Why God created, who I am. Because who I am is the first question you must answer before you even start living. If you skip the question of who am I, you are not living, you are existing. You will collect identities. You will borrow identities and begin to allow it outplay. And that's the problem with Eve, the second female. She was living a borrowed identity. The Bible says that she was called Eve because she was the mother of all life. There was more to her destiny than that. God said, I will make a helper suitable. So let's look at the scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you, what? A prophet. So your identity as Jeremiah, even though your parents called you Jeremiah, but your identity from the one who created you is that you are a prophet to the nations. That identity has nothing to do with the location where he was born. It has nothing to do with the family that he grew in. It has nothing to do with the social community he was domiciled in. His identity is a distinct and a unique feature given to him by God. That's why I told you yesterday that discovery is inward as you begin to grow in God. And there'll be many things about your life you will discover if your Christian experience must make sense. We're talking about women on the front lines. It's funny how that many women are living an identity given to them by culture and tradition. What is the identity culture and tradition has given to us? In Africa, for instance, that a woman's role is in the kitchen. So you are either to cook. That's the reason why somebody will ask, can she cook, as one of the primary requirements for marrying her. So if your primary requirement for choosing a wife, primary, is that she can cook, and there's nothing wrong with knowing how to cook, I think you should know how to cook. Amen? Because God created you as a helper. So how will you help a man who does a 9-to-5 job? You sit down and watch Big Brother when he comes back and tell him, only as you are coming back, order food. Amen? So, it's good to know how to cook. And please go and learn. You can never be old. Humble yourself and go and meet people that can teach how to cook and learn. Amen? Yes, even if you say you plan that you are going to have house help, or you even have now. Have you read that part in Proverbs where it says that there is an ugly thing, a sight that is too high to behold. He said when a mistress succeeds, a slave or a girl, the way to a man's house may not necessarily be his stomach, but he can start from there. So go and learn. So even though you have a house help that can cook, you go and learn how to cook, because you will discover that cooking in scripture provoked blessings, generational blessings from somebody. You don't cook because it's your duty to cook. There are times where you need something from that man. But if your primary reason for choosing a wife is if she knows how to cook, then it's because you are not sure what God intended when he created that woman for you. Because a woman can help you more than just cooking. Now, culture and tradition has given us that identity that is to cook, and is passed down from generation to generation. Culture and tradition has also given us an identity that a woman will at best just be a second-class citizen. In fact, culture and tradition, especially in Africa or third world countries, has reduced the existence of a woman to just a baby factory. Give birth. Now you are number 9 in your family. You remember, ba? Your mother gave birth to how many? I've seen people who gave birth to 15 children. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm wondering how they push those 15 out. But a woman is much more than just that. It is this identity crisis that is the reason for why we are now having to deal with a lot of social vices, a lot of social ills and afflictions. For instance, this feminism movement, I hope you know that is an extreme. Because when God created male and female, God established an order by which they will operate. God is not a fool. God is not gender sensitive to say that the woman should submit in all things to her husband. No. It was because God had already created both of them with unique identities. And it is through submission from the woman to the man and love from the man to the woman that their identities can coexist and give birth to God's purpose. So the reason for that structure is beyond the man and the woman. It is because of God's intention. And I think it's time for us to start living not for ourselves, but for God's original purpose for us. Let's allow self get out of the way and allow divine purpose to come in. So even feminism, I can tell you the truth, that's also an identity pushed to us by Satan. Now I hope you know that Satan has been at war with the woman from Genesis chapter 3. Because God said, I will talk about that tomorrow. My message on warfare is going to be tomorrow. From Genesis chapter 3, God said, I will put enmity between you and the serpent, and between your seed and the serpent's seed. So from that time, there was adversity between, or opposition between the serpent, which is Satan, and the woman. Now, the thing that people don't know about the devil is that Satan has gained a lot of mastery in attacks. Satan has been on earth for thousands of years. He has studied humankind. He knows how to attack. For instance, there are two primary methods by which Satan attacks. There is the confrontational method. When he's coming against you, he can use people, he can use systems. Are you hearing me? Then there is the infiltrational method, when he uses you to fight you. For instance, affliction in your body is infiltrational, because you want to walk, but you can't walk because you are sick. So there's a battle between your body and your mind. Your mind wants to walk, but your body is sick. Your spirit wants to pray, but your body wants sleep. That's infiltrational attack. And Satan knows how to do it. I'm telling you the truth. If not that we are in Christ Jesus, we stand no chance against that guy. By age, he's older than us. Spiritually and even physically. The reason why we are above him is because God has conformed us to be one with Christ. So I believe that feminism is an agenda from the pit of hell. Because why do women no longer want to agree that it's not about gender equality, it's about purpose discovery? The reason for gender was for an earthly suit to be created, an earthly passport that will allow you remain on earth and fulfill God's agenda. Otherwise, the spirit in you and I is not male or female. The spirit in you and I is spirit. But we came as male and female because that gender now allows, so God can be working, doing different things at the same time because he has different gender. So it's not about gender equality. Of course, the devil only masters what is in the flesh. That's the reason why this feminism movement is going. And so a lot of women I'm no longer planning to get married again, which was God's design. I will make a helper suitable. But there are some women who, let me just get pregnant, have my child and continue. And what will Satan do? Make them celebrities. Make them influencers, because he understands the power of influence. Imagine what Satan would have done with Jesus when he told him, when he took him on that mountain. So all the glories and the kingdoms of the world I will give to you. Jesus would have become his Michael Jackson. Jesus would have become his celebrity. Jesus would still have come back as Jesus, but he will be pushing another agenda. And slowly but surely, that's the reason why the Antichrist is a man. He's not a spirit, he's a man. I hope you know. The Antichrist that will come is a man. And I don't want to go into what they call eschatology, otherwise I would have told you the Antichrist is on earth. Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that until the time of his manifestation, until the time of the manifestation of the man of sin, just the same way Jesus was a human being on earth, the same way the Antichrist. All of these are different identities given to us, either by culture, by, you know, the social world that we live in, by the communities we find ourselves in. But it is time for us to discover our own unique identity. I remember I told you there are three stages to it. Stage number one is your identity as a woman. God created you as a helper according to Genesis chapter 2 verse 18 and 22. Number two, your identity in Christ. That you are a child of God and the nature of Christ that is in you to be revealed. Then number three, your unique identity that sponsors your divine purpose. These are the three. Philippians chapter 3 verse 9. He says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of from God by faith. This is identity here. Identity discovery. And be found in him, not having my own. Meaning that I will discover the one that is given to me in Christ. So how do you discover your identity? Number one. By an encounter with Jesus. This begins at what we call the new birth experience. The new birth experience is redemption for every human being. That you are born again. You are born of the Spirit of God. Meaning you are now carry the nature of God. That's why he calls us redeemed. There's been a replacement, a renovation, a recreation of our nature. We now carry the nature of God, the life of God in us. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Sight is one of the senses of every human being. And just like you have natural senses, you have spiritual senses. And it is through your senses that you interact with your environment and everything around you. That means the proof of existence is that you have senses for interaction. You have eyes that can see. You have ears that can hear. You have tongue that can taste. You have skin that can feel. You have what again? Nose that can smell. The same way you have spiritual senses. So when you are born again, you carry a new identity. And in that new identity are spiritual senses with which you can interact with the new realm that you belong to. You now belong to heaven. So it is important that you use those senses to begin to interact with heaven, interact with God who is spirit, because that's where they come from. And it is through this interaction that you can now start discovering who God created you to be. Because without this interaction, you will just carry the nature of God but still be clueless of who you are. A gun will never fulfill its full potential until somebody who knows how to cock and shoot it handles it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You remember in Matthew chapter 16, between Simon and Jesus, when he discovered Jesus' identity, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was the name given to his human body. But Christ was the divine purpose of God that was living in that body. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this one. That means that the discovery of your identity cannot happen by natural means alone. It has to come from the supernatural. It has to come from the heavenly. There has to be a communication between you and God. Because that's where your nature is. That's where you existed from. He said, before I formed you, I knew you. All of us existed in eternity before we came on earth. So what you would discover about your identity will trace back to where you came from. Do you know that your identity can seclude and separate you to where you come from? People can discover your biological ancestry. They can even discover your location based on your identity. For instance, if you see a Yoruba man who is marked, I don't know, maybe God has modified genetics these days, but you no longer have all those tribal marks that separate us. Or maybe your modernization has come now. Ladies don't want to marry somebody with their own mark. Say, mark, marry mark, mark plus mark. Amen. But there's a way in those days, there's a way you see somebody marked, you just know this one is Yoruba. And you can even predict maybe Ibadan or maybe Oshobo or somebody or somewhere. There's a kind of mark you find on a person's body. You know this one is Fulani, is Hausa. So you see, the discovery of your identity will trace you back to the realm from whence you were created, even before time began. Then you, that is when you start living a purposeful life. Because you are now living from a place of existence before time existed. And that kind of life will make you not pursue earthly and mundane things. Because you know that there is more to your existence than just material things. Somebody say amen to that. So, Peter encountered Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, you are Simon, but you shall be called Peter. And that was his identity from that day. Peter meant rock. Simon means a reed that is shaken by the wind. Inconsistent. Anywhere the wind blows, you blow. In football those days, we call it anywhere belefis. Imagine somebody with that kind of life. Inconsistent in everything they do. They don't have a will of their own. They don't have a purpose of their own. They don't have convictions of their own. It is what people say that they listen to. Their thought patterns are framed by discussions around them. Have you seen that kind of a person? Now, there are many women like that. There are many women that their opinion about people is based on what others have said. And it's good to take what other people say about a person. But wait till you encounter that person yourself and discern who they really are. Not just the physical body, but what is inside. The Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. So when you encounter Jesus, that's the first stage of discovering your identity. Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, you see Jesus still calling Peter there. And that was how he lived his life and became a pillar upon which the church was built. Number two, embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Embracing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, Barrister talked about intimacy yesterday. And my job is to explain this a little bit, experientially and of course from scripture. The Holy Spirit lives in you because you are born again. Because you are a child of God, you carry the nature of God. Now, because the Holy Spirit lives in you, God is domiciled within you. You must know Him as a person. And you must know He has a ministry to your life. And the first level of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to your life is to, first of all, help you discover you. Number two is to help you with the discovery of the new you. Help that new you to communicate with the God who has birthed you. In my days of discipleship years ago, we were told that there are three things you must know when you come to Christ. Basically, number one, who you now are. Number two, who is this God that has saved you? Number three, how to establish a relationship with Him. Now, the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Wisdom and revelation means he gives you access to knowledge. Knowledge about who you are as created in Christ Jesus. Knowledge, he gives you that access. The Holy Spirit is the sure bet of discovering God's original purpose for your life and God's unique identity seeded into you, which may be a secret from you. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10 to 12, you see the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 17 to 18 as well. And how do you embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Through an extended moment with him. Extended moments spent with him. Time spent in prayer. Time spent in retreat with the Lord. Listen, intimacy is not transactional. You don't see a person only when you need the person. If not, you don't have a relationship. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands for Pastor Moses, who is here with us again. Amen. It's good to have you back. Thank you, sir. Now, let me use him as an example. Pastor Moses is not here because Barrister, who is a friend of his, of course, I got to know Barrister through Pastor Moses, but he is not here because Barrister came to town. You and I know, especially those of you that are consistent here, he comes again and again. Not even for the mic, he comes and just sits down. So that is what you call a relationship. Not because of what he wants or because he needs the platform. We have a lot of Christian, especially Christian women, who all their relationships are majorly transactional. And that's why it doesn't deliver the way it should. Listen. Long time destiny relationships, it's not really from the beginning you will know what they were meant to do. Sometimes just continue. You know, a man of God said something, and I'm going to reiterate it here. Have you seen all those people that when they go around somebody, they call their spiritual father or their mentor, they want to take pictures? And socially speaking, there may not be nothing wrong with taking pictures. But let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. If you say that man is your father, it means that you and him will be there for a long time. Whether he travels to Australia and you are in America, or whether he travels to the North Pole and you are in South Pole, you people, that relationship, there is nothing you can do about you can't disfather your father. Your father may disown you, but it doesn't change the fact that you came from him, isn't it? That's a lifelong relationship. So why are you rushing to take pictures just 2 months after meeting? That's the reason why bringing that to your relationship with the Holy Spirit. If you go into the place of prayer, the presence of God, because you need to satisfy a religious sense of the fact that it is good to pray often. That's why, you know, before you begin to engage in spiritual exercise, understand relationship first. Because we pray from a place of relationship. That's why we can call God Father, but people from other religions cannot. Because we have a relationship. So we pray not because, that's what the Bible says, the prayer of a sinner is an abomination. Because no matter how pious or, you know, sacramental he sounds, there is no connection between him and God. Light and darkness has nothing in common. But when God sees you, he sees himself. And it is from that position you can pray. When you understand that, prayer can be both spontaneous or specific, meaning you can have designated times of prayer, or you can have spontaneous moments of prayer. So you embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit by extended moments with him. Spend time with him. Spend time with him. Sit there with him. There are times you will sit praying in tongues. There are times you sit worshiping. There are times you sit listening. In fact, I need to encourage you, if you are going to pray, if you really want a prayer life that works, I'm not going to talk much about prayer, but because Barrister will talk about it. When you go into the presence of God, go with a notepad. And many times you realize that there's more God wants to say to you than even you have to say to him. If you keep a prayer relationship with God simply because you need to pray, there are many times God will be talking and you will not hear him. If you do it so that you can be, at least I give 1 hour to God. After all, we heard a preacher say that, couldn't you watch with me for just 1 hour? So if I don't give 1 hour of prayer to God, I feel guilty. If your prayer is coming from a place of guilt, you didn't pray. Are you hearing me? Like me now, because of how tired I was when I went back, I slept all through the night. I know we were going to have extended moment. I know Barista was praying. I know she prayed for us. I slept. But I'm still bringing you something fresh from God, isn't it? Because that I slept one night didn't end my prayer life. So extended moment, even on your job, as you are working on the laptop, as you are going on the road, that's how he inspires you with ideas. That's how he talks to you about things. And also by listening and living in the consciousness of his presence. When you walk around, know that you are conscious of his presence. Live with it every day. In fact, when you live conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence in you, it will be difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it will be difficult for you to just be offended. Even if you are offended, it will be difficult for you to carry the offense throughout the whole day. Because you are conscious of his presence. When you live with him to that point, there are times the Holy Spirit will not need to talk to you. You know, when you do something and you come back to the house and your mother just looks at you, or your friend just looks at you, there's a way they just look at you. You already could. That's how your relationship with the Holy Spirit will grow. He will not need to talk. He can move inside of you and you know what he's saying. Did the Bible not say that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit didn't tell Jesus, go. He just knew the moving inside of him, and he knew the next location was where. Can I tell you, in destiny, there are many times where God does not even have time to talk. You will want to reason it logically. He will move inside of you. And you know it's time to go somewhere. You know it's time to stop. You know, even when you are at the airport, don't fly with this plane and go back. You will know when a disappointment is a blessing. You know when a disappointment is a curse that needs to be dealt with. Number three. Watch out for models and patterns. Watch out for models and patterns. We're talking about discovering your identity. If you realize that when you get born again, you notice that in your dreams and your visions, there is a consistency of pictures. There are certain people God will keep showing you again and again. Those are models. Those are look-alikes of your identity. Because that's how you teach a child. When you take your child to crèche, do they start teaching their four letter words, five letters? They don't know that. They start with colors, patterns. Let them know that this one is one. This is two. This, and then they know that. And those patterns become the founding blocks for how they are able to learn alphabets and numerals and many things as they advance. That's why you are seeing the face of this man of God consistently again and again. He's simply showing you models, patterns. Because God, what God wants to do with you, he has done before with somebody. In fact, our identities are connected, even though unique. Why? Because our assignments can all be summed up into one thing. It is to advance the kingdom of God on earth and to reveal his nature, his glory. He said that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory. So our assignments put together is to sponsor that. That's why our identities, which is a root of our destiny, is connected. That's why children of the same man look alike. Isn't it? So when you see those faces, is a pattern God is showing you. That's when you can now take Barrister's point yesterday. Go and start listening to their messages or reading their books. Or watching what they do. Because as you watch them, you will see yourself in them. Because their identity came from Jesus Christ. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate. It's that easy. There are some dreams that you don't need to run around for interpretation. Once you see consistency of appearance is one thing. God can say one thing in many ways. And he can say many things in one picture. That's how he speaks. That's why the dream of Pharaoh was two. one thing many ways. And that's why your destiny can be birthed from one dream. One dream can sponsor 40, 50 years. At transitional points in your life, God will go take you back to that dream and show you something you didn't understand. That's why if you have dreams or visions that you don't understand, don't rush. Understanding comes with patience in the school of the spirit. There are things, there are parts of which you will not understand now. Don't worry, you are not still clueless. Work with the one you know and continue. When you get to a level of transition in your life, God will bring the interpretation of another aspect of it, and it continues. Is it not God that spoke to Jacob and said, I'm the God that appeared to you where? In Bethel. Chapters later, he's reminding him of one dream he had. So watch out for models. Number four, create a regular habit of reading and studying scripture. That's the written word. Create a regular habit of reading and studying scripture. Luke chapter 4 verse 16 to 20. Jesus went to the synagogue as his custom was and was given the book of Isaiah to read, which was part of his custom too. And as he read, he discovered himself there. And in verse 20, he told them, he said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. That's the same way I discovered my identity. I remember years ago, few days to my birthday, I decided to try something. That was 2016. That I'd been working with God for years before that time. Instead of all the other ways of celebrating birthday, I decided, let me spend time with God. I know that when you press into God and you are hungry for God, you can provoke Him to speak to you. So I decided. I said, I won't eat 4 days to my birthday. Don't try it if you have not been trained, though. Amen? That's when, between the night of the first day to the second day, you will see the roof of your ceiling, your roof will become like the ground. Then the ground will now become like the roof. So you now want to walk. Why are people walking like this? Let them walk like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Barissa was telling me yesterday of a kind of fast she did. I was just laughing. Amen. In fact, you know that fast? God taught me a secret many years ago. Anybody that is going through demonic oppression, especially spirit husband, spirit wife, and all of that, that's the kind of fast to put them on. 3 days praying, it will break. Because there's a connection between eating and sex. That's not for today. And don't worry, you hear it. You have me in this town. Amen. Yeah, very powerful. And I've tried it. I've tried it again. If everything doesn't work, put them on that fast. But you don't know the fast bar? All right. I want you to hear this as I close. Wilderness seasons are often seasons of discovery or reinvention. Wilderness seasons are often seasons of discovery or reinvention. So if God wants to help you discover your identity, He'll take you through what we call a wilderness season. Many of the things are happening in the wilderness experience. And of course, a wilderness experience means God exposes you to harsh conditions around your mental or physical life because He wants to do a refining or a rediscovery in you. You know, no soldier is trained in comfort. The militant attitude of a warrior is in every man. It takes training to bring it out. So that's why they will not put them on mattress that has spring. That when you lie on top, you just be bouncing like that. No, no way. You will sleep in gutter, you will jump up. After a few years, the regimental nature that is in that man, the warrior spirit, will come out. So that discovering of identity, don't think you'll be sipping coffee one day and God will just come to you and say, you are going to be the Esther of your generation. And you say, amen. In case it comes like that, get ready, because that will be the simplest part of it. The next phase is the phase of suffering. Because wilderness experiences are the place of discovery or reinvention. So I did my fast 4 days. I told you I saw the roof like the ground and the ground. I saw all kinds of things. And the morning of the fourth day, around 4 a.m., I was sleeping on the bed. It was a tiled floor. And I heard a voice like a whisper. It said, I have made you light.
Light, 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 light.
That's all I heard. When I woke up, I heard that sound echo the room where I was. That's the first time I know you can be afraid when you are in the presence of God. I thought it's only the devil will run from. It echoed. So, I opened the Bible and then I saw Isaiah chapter 42 verses 6. A light to the nations to do this. And then the voice echoed again. I said, you know what? My fasting is over. I closed the Bible. That's the end. This scripture, when you read it, you can get any revelation from it. But me, that's my identity. Whether I'm living in Niger tomorrow or in UAE, this is me. It doesn't matter how people look at me. I don't care who respects me and who doesn't respect me. Who honors me, who doesn't honor me. This is the conviction I live with. Verse 5, 6, and 7. And that is what follows the grace that manifests in my life effortlessly. Every person you celebrate, they've made this discovery too. That's why I said you must read the written word consistently. And even books. There are books where God will open you to and you see things about yourself. So when you discover your identity, number one, it builds your conviction to go through life. Number two, it helps you discover your purpose and assignment. I'm rushing because of time. It builds your conviction to go through life. Number two, it helps you discover your purpose and assignment. You can't be convinced about life if you don't know your identity. I'm telling you, there'll be many times you suffer depression. But when you know who you are, you don't need people. People's opinion will not really count. So whether they are right or wrong, you can thank them for their opinion. And when you know who you are, you will know where you are going to. Because who you are is not designed to go everywhere. Who you are is designed for a particular direction. Jesus said to none of the women in Israel was Elijah the prophet sent, save. Number two, it helps you discover your purpose and assignment. Because when you know who you are, then you can tell what you are meant to do. Number three, under that, write your identity defines your reality and your reality determines your ability. Sorry, I'm rushing. I wrote this message this morning, just around 9 or so, because God said I need to come and talk about this. Number three, you deal with psychological defects such as low self-esteem, inferiority complex, and mediocrity. When you discover your identity, that's how you deal with these things. Low self-esteem, mediocrity, inferiority complex. You deal with those things when you discover your identity. Because you realize that there is no other you apart from you. Even in 1,000 people, you will always stand out if you know and you are conscious of who you are. So you can at best celebrate other people as a contribution and their own unique expression. But you know who you are. So even if 4 people ministered before you, you are not afraid. Whether time has gone or not, you know when you stand there, they will see something different. Is this not what is killing many people in our world today? Inferiority complex. In fact, many of the show online, people trying to show how many cars they have, flaunt their wealth, thinking that value is expressed by wealth. No, sir. It's inferiority complex. You have made billions, so what? You are number what now? The richest man in Nigeria is number what in the world ranking? There will always be somebody richer than you. So don't, your identity is not what you have, it's who you are. What you have can change, but who you are never changes. Even if what you have is a marriage that you lose, you didn't lose who you are. You can pick up your life from the knowledge of who you are and still fulfill destiny. Catherine Kuhlman came out of the divorce and still became one of the greatest female preachers on earth. A woman who is dead, but her legacy is louder than many voices who are alive. Low self-esteem, all of those things is because you don't know who you are. If I didn't make this discovery about myself, I would have quitted ministry by now. Because I tell you, you don't know the kind of attack you face being a minister in the north. You'll face neglection. You'll face persecution. You'll face attack, betrayals. This is not a story. I need to write a book. I am. You face people who mock you, tell you no to your face. People who ridicule you because of your size. And you know, God didn't give me a muscular size. Then I used to want to be big. But now I thank God for the way I am. Because I think 20 years from now, I may still be looking like this. They say life begins at 40. I've planned at my 40th birthday, I've planned my life. There's going to be a reverse. When I get to 41, I'll be 14. Yes, I planned everything. I will change my looks, everything. I will start. And then minister God's purpose to the next generation. That's how you become transgenerationally relevant. You know, I spoke about a word called reinvention. Mm-hmm. Number four, you become outstanding when you discover your identity. And then number five, as I close, you can, at divinely prescribed seasons, embrace the art of reinvention. When you discover your identity, you can, at divinely prescribed seasons, embrace the art of reinvention. What is reinvention? I will not be too big, you know, grammatically. Reinvention simply means a renewed expression of your self-image. Reinvention simply means deriving a different phase of your image, of your personality, that suits the current circumstances or situations around you. Now let me tell you something. In life and destiny, there are different phases. Life is in phases. You will not be the way you are every phase. No, there will be a change. There's a time when Papa Selman was in Zaria, he looked like Zaria. Sure, you know, you've seen those pictures online. You see long neck, like my own. That's why I believe I will be big. When I look at people like that, that's why I believe. He looked like Zaria. And then gradually when it was time to leave Zaria, he started changing to look like where he was going to. So now you now see he looks like where he is. Not just location, but in mandate. But it was the same person all along. So it took reinvention to happen. There will be phases in your life where you need to reinvent yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There will be a time where God will stop you in your career and you have to pick another career because of reinvention. Why? Because this one is no longer a geography enough for where God's assignment for your life is going to. You may need to take a change. Even on the road, there are times where you see a sign of diversion. You are still on the same journey, on the same route, but you need to divert. Many of you, in fact, in this conference, you will experience reinvention. There's a new you that will be born. A new you that will not beg for acceptance. A new you that is conscious of your divine mandate and assignment. That's what happened with Jesus. Isaiah 53, verses 2. He shall be like a root that grows out of dry ground. Have you seen a plant growing out of a ground that doesn't have moisture and nutrient? Lepa. That's what they call it, right? And then verse 3 says, and when we see him, there is no form of comeliness in him that we should desire him. In other words, physically, he didn't have the expression or the look of a savior. Listen, when you start out in destiny, many times you will not look like where you are going to. Many times you may not look like your mandate. That's because at that time, you need help and support systems to midwife you to your destiny, to where you are going to. And God will need, out of the crowd that should be attracted, God will need to pick out a few. So it will take people with discernment, people that have eyes to see you, not who, how you look, but who you are and where you are going to. That's why I laugh at people who are ridiculing you right now. I laugh at people who are relegating you right now, because they don't know that God is lifting you as a savior in your generation. Somebody believe that, shout a thunderous amen. I've met people before now that relegated and despised me. The next time I met them years later, they were bowing to people who were bowing to me. Then we now jam in the place. So the person is telling, oh, I want you to meet my father. Oh, yeah, let's go. Then he comes and he meets me. And I crossed my leg. I say, how are you, sir? The form didn't change, but there was reinvention. There was reinvention. So look at Jesus' reinvention. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He reinvented himself and had favor with God and man. That thing manifested in chapter 3 when he was baptized at River Jordan. But the next phase that he will enter, he had to go to the wilderness again. And another reinvention happened. And the Bible says, he returned, verse 14 of chapter 4, he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and his fame spread. Because the Jesus they last saw had no power. He only had wisdom. But this time around, he returned in the power. Just like you leave this conference with power. Somebody shout power. Reinvention. But it is the Holy Spirit that will help you know the phases. That's why you must embrace him. There are seasons where he will make you retreat. Just like next year, God is already giving me something I will do next year. That may be strange. It's reinvention. That's what happens to an eagle. When they have grown old, they will fly to a mountain and remain there. Pull out the feathers on their body. On the wings of an eagle alone, it has 7,000 feathers each. They will pull it out. It's a painful experience. Pull it out and they are bleeding. And when everything is out, they remain there until new feathers grow out. It's an art of reinvention. Some of you, I know you think you know where you are going to, but you are rushing for manifestation. Wait first. Stay. Let God groom you. Stay in the wilderness. Stay in the secret place. I'm telling you. Listen, there are demons where you are going to. There are forces where you are going to. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When it was time and God said, go to Abuja, I was bold enough to go. You know why? I had faced the beast here. They know me. I know them. And that's where it ends. Anybody that crosses the line is trouble. Are you hearing me? Rise on your feet so that we can pray. I want you to pray one prayer and say, Lord, help me to discover who I am in this conference. Pray in the name of Jesus. 1 minute. Pray. I don't need to motivate you to pray. Help me. Help me. Open your mouth and pray. Pray. Whether by the written word, whether by the ministry of your spirit, whether through the structure of mentorship, patterns and models, help me to rediscover who I am. As you have created me in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we are one sheep created in Christ Jesus unto every good works, which God hath foreordained that we will walk in. There's something about you that is more than what people say. That is more than the duties, the activities given to you. Activities don't define you. They are an expression of your values that is bettered by your identity. In Jesus' name. Last prayer is the prayer for reinvention. Hear me. Some of us are at a phase in our life where you need to rediscover your identity. There's something more about you that needs to be discovered. Dr. K, I hope you will share your testimony from the dream of the baby and all of that. And then we realize it was more than just a baby. That was just a physical sign for a new you that needs to be born. Are you hearing me? Listen, I started as a drummer. Is this a drummer now? It's called reinvention. Reinvention. Some of those, my drummer friends, they are still playing drum till today. And I send them money sometimes. But I left them there. Because I remember those times when we finish, all of them will go and gist, but I will go to the place of prayer and pray. Even me, I asked myself, why am I praying like this? Do you need this kind of pressure? When you see God putting the prayer pressure of a pastor on an usher, it's because that usher is not just an usher. That's just a phase you are going through. You need to be reinvented. Are you hearing me? There are demons that may not be afraid of you now, but when you reinvent, they will just flee when they see you. Are you hearing me? So you are going to pray and say, Lord,
Help me to experience reinvention in this season. Reinvention of my image. Listen, whether you understand the word or not, with all I've explained it, open your mouth and pray. Lord, help me to experience reinvention. Pray.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.